WJR's newest radio show, Today's Woman, hosted by Dr. Carol Kowalczyk. I'm your co-host, Dana Clark. It's all about supporting women and their careers and at home. The show will focus on educating and inspiring women to be the best they can be. We've got some great topics to cover tonight. As a follow-up to last month's show that focused on fertility awareness, we'll review the 10 things fertility patients wish they knew. Also, we'll bring awareness to military families who serve to defend our country as we honor National Military Appreciation Month.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Today's Woman with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk, sponsored by the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. I'm your co-host, Dana Clark. Tonight, we have a list of the top 10 things fertility patients wish they knew that we want to share with our listeners. We will also talk about egg freezing, the impact of obesity on fertility and women's eggs. And we are saluting military families in honor of National Military Appreciation Month. If you'd like more info about the show or our sponsor, Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health, visit MIFertility.com or call 248-864-5900. That's 248-864-5900. With infertility being a national issue that affects one in eight couples, regardless of age or race, we want to bring awareness to some facts so that all of us can better support couples struggling with this condition. And Dr. Carol, we talked last month about National Infertility Awareness Week. Mm-hmm. So this month, we're going to tell the top things patients wish that you knew. And so we're going to highlight a few of those things in this first segment. And you mentioned that this report or research was done by Dr. Nani.
Right. Dr. Nani is one of the reproductive endocrinology and fertility specialists at the Fertility Centers of Illinois. And in honor of National Infertility Awareness Week, she sent out a survey of all of her patients, and they see several thousand in that practice because there's like nine offices. Mm-hmm. And with the survey, these are the top 10 pieces of information or facts that fertility patients wish that others knew going through their journey. So,
okay, so number one,
yes.
I'll start with that. Infertility is a medical condition like diabetes, a disease like cancer.
And that's something that patients want the general public to be aware of, is that infertility is a medical condition just like diabetes and hypertension and should be treated as such. And therefore, if your sugar's high or your blood pressure is out of control, you don't think twice about seeing a doctor. Mm-hmm. But patients going through fertility do wonder if they should see someone, and the answer is yes, because there's treatment options available.
Okay. And number two, insurance companies usually don't cover fertility treatments. And so if it is a medical condition,
it's very
why don't they cover?
Exactly. It's very, very frustrating. Less than half of the states cover any kind of infertility. There's a handful that cover a lot of fertility, including IVF. And why don't they cover it? Their logic is what I've been told, mm-hmm. is that unlike diabetes and hypertension, that if out of control could potentially be life-threatening and kill you, not having a baby is not in that same category. So a lot of insurance companies almost have the thought that it's a luxury to have a baby, and therefore they don't want to cover it. The other problem is that, you know, couples maybe, for example, need in vitro fertilization, and with that is a 2 to 3 times higher success rate, plus control over multiple births. Couples can't afford to do that, so then they go to the other options, such as Clomid or fertility shots, and guess what? They get their twins or triplets, mm-hmm. and now their twins or triplets are in the NICU for 2 months, and didn't that cost the insurance companies some? So what we're trying to do in the local area is talk to the local hospitals to try to arrange some type of extra insurance incentives to say, look, if you cover at the front end, you're going to end up saving money at the end, and that the patients are going to get pregnant sooner too.
Is Viagra still covered?
I don't know, probably.
Okay, yeah. Moving on.
We won't go
Hello. We'll leave that one alone right where it is. Okay. So it affects all relationships, not just relationships between you and your partner. It can affect the whole family.
Exactly. And it is one of the leading stressors of medical conditions. Research show that the level of anxiety and depression in women with fertility is the same as the diagnosis of cancer, heart disease, and HIV.
Okay.
So that stress is up there. And as opposed to those other conditions where there's support groups and everyone's kind of talking about it, fertility, there isn't a lot of open support in general. But at fertility centers, every center has several fertility counselors that it's highly recommended to see in order to reduce that stress and improve those relationships.
Are there any groups like, you know, meetings that couples can go to speak to other...
Absolutely. Okay. There are, in all fertility centers, there usually is a counselor who is willing to provide support groups for patients. Plus, there's many online. Resolve is one of the big ones. Resolve is a national support group for fertility patients that has a lot of resources.
What's the percentage of couples you would say break up because of this?
That's a hard number.
Approximately.
Yeah, that's a hard number. In my practice, I've had a handful that have broken up, but I don't know a number in general. I would suspect less than 10%, but that would be a guess.
Yeah. So do when it's the man's, I don't want to say fault because it's no one's fault, but for lack of a better word, if it's his issue that they can't get pregnant, is the man just as stressed out as the woman?
Yes, and they manifest it very differently. A woman is going to have more... outpourings of her frustration,
emotional.
Where the guy's going to go in his man
be
cave,
anger, have
and,
anger.
Yeah, and he's going to be isolated, and he's not going to want to talk about it, and the wife is going to think you don't care, and that's not true. It's just that that's how he's processing it differently.
Okay, so number four, getting pregnant isn't as always easy as you think, and number five, it's more common than you realize.
Yes, it affects 1 in 8 couples, and the chance of getting pregnant is only 15-20% chance per month. So someone's saying, oh, I'm going to get married, start my family, have sex, doesn't necessarily happen that first time.
Okay. It's an emotional roller coaster kind of going on, what we mentioned before about the stress.
Definitely. And dealing with the stress is just as important as dealing with the traditional medical condition and treatments. And there was a Harvard Medical School study that showed that in women who had fertility issues, those who went under a 10-week course of relaxation, training, and stress reduction, 55% of those women got pregnant as opposed to only 20% who didn't go through that relaxation program. So while you can't measure stress, there's got to be something there that is going to potentially compound the difficulty in getting pregnant. It needs to be addressed.
Okay, number seven, infertility affects young couples too.
21% of couples going through infertility are under 35. So if you're in your 20s and you're having problems, don't wait. It's important to see someone.
Mm-hmm. Number eight, support from family and friends means a lot.
And that's 8 and 10, it kind of goes together,
okay.
and it does. You know, when someone's going through fertility, let them talk about it. Don't try to solve their problem. Be a shoulder to cry on and make sure that it's something that's available to patients.
Okay, well, we're just getting started in the show. A lot more to come. You're listening to Today's Woman Radio Show with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. Call 248-864-5900. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Today's Woman Radio Show with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. I'm Dana Clark. Tonight we're talking about the 10 things fertility patients wish you knew. If you'd like more info about our sponsor, Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health, or visit mifertility.com or call 248-864-5900. That's 248-864-5900. And Dr. Carol, okay, we went through briefly the last segment about the 10 things. Let's wrap up this one about the 10th thing, which is PCOS is a silent fertility disease. It can affect women of all shapes and sizes.
Right. PCOS, or polycystic ovary syndrome, is essentially a syndrome of insulin resistance and elevated androgens or male hormones. And 70% of women diagnosed with PCOS could have some aspect of infertility. So if you have irregular absent periods, weight gain, those are more common for PCOS patients, but you could have a very thin patient who still has hormonal and metabolic, meaning insulin resistance parameters that put her in that category. So if you are having problems getting pregnant, the sooner that you get those hormone evaluations done, the better.
The better. Okay, so we're going to switch gears and talk about something that's been a subject in the news a lot lately, egg freezing. And we're going to talk about a new story that we just heard about, and Apple and Facebook made an announcement that they're paying up to $20,000 to allow employees to free eggs for later fertilization. What do you think about that?
I think it's awesome.
Okay.
I believe that more and more companies should take it upon themselves to offer fertility care because of the information we talked about in the last segment, Dana, mm-hmm. is that it's a medical condition. And what I'm finding is there are leaders in this type of innovation, Apple and Facebook, who have a lot of patients who are, employees that
okay.
are mm-hmm. in the age group that they're up and running and they still want their families. I think it's awesome. Now, $20,000, egg freezing is something that the average cost is anywhere from $5,000 to $7,000. So why so much?
Mm-hmm.
It's because you may need to go through more than one egg retrieval cycle. The mm-hmm. literature suggests that you need to, for each egg that you retrieve, you're going to have a 2 to 12% chance of having a baby with that egg.
Okay.
So if you think about it, the average 20-year-old, when you go through retrieval, it will give us anywhere from 10 to 20 eggs. The average 30-year-old, 8 to 12. The average 40-year-old is a handful. So someone in their 20s may have to go through a couple IVF cycles in order to freeze enough eggs for one baby. In our literature, the recommendation is to freeze somewhere around 15 to 20 eggs per child.
Okay.
And if you do the math, that 20,000 is going to allow that couple or that young lady to go through maybe 2 or 3 IVF cycles. And kudos, who's doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Single women who are not waiting for Mr. Sperm Donor just to have a baby.
Right.
They want to mate and marry somebody or be with somebody mm-hmm. in a long-term relationship that they care about, but they're smart enough to know, because of this awareness and literature out there, that their eggs are getting older. So I am getting a ton of young single women
who are asking
me to freeze their eggs.
Okay.
And so it's not just for fertility preservation for cancer anymore. There's a lot of young women who are saying, look, you know what? Save my eggs. Now, the thing you need to remember is that it does not guarantee pregnancy.
Okay.
So we tell them that because eggs are much more fragile than embryos, so there's going to be a lot that don't survive.
Mm-hmm.
And the recommendation is, say you freeze your eggs at 28, but you meet Mr. Amazing at 37.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get on it. Try to get pregnant with your own eggs, fresh
okay. first,
eggs first.
Okay.
And then you can use those as a backup.
Okay. And what is the procedure? Is it pretty intensive?
No,
for egg freezing?
It's about a process from birth control to getting the eggs out. It takes about 5 weeks. So usually what we do is we'll initially suppress a patient with birth control pills. The idea is to kind of get them into our cycle, but also make the eggs or follicles where the eggs live in grow at a more regular rate. Then they're on fertility shots for 10 to 12 nights.
Okay.
We monitor them during that time with blood and ultrasounds. When the follicles or cysts with the eggs get big enough, they get a trigger that's timed 36 hours before the retrieval. The actual retrieval of eggs happened in my office under IV sedation, and through the vagina we get the eggs, and then a couple hours later I'll be able to grade the eggs and freeze them and let them know the next day how many
grade
we have.
Grade the eggs.
Yes, they get a grade.
Oh my
they get
gosh,
a grade.
As what? Good?
Yeah.
Large, extra large, jumbo.
Brilliant. No. Immature, immature, or atretic.
Okay.
So, and atretic means old.
And as you mentioned, you need so many because some just won't make
Correct.
It.
Correct. And you have to remember that the older you are in freezing those eggs, the more cycles you might have to go through to get enough that are going to be mature enough and genetically okay enough to be able to fertilize and give you a baby.
Now, are they kept at the office, or
yes.
do you get to take them home?
No,
you don't get...
they're with us. They're nice
Remember
and cold.
The little project in high school where you had to
exactly.
keep the egg alive? You don't get to take it home,
no,
right? They
no,
stay
no. They
with
stay
you.
They stay beautifully cold here in my office and until you're ready to use them. And they can be frozen indefinitely.
Okay.
There's no time limit to use them. So
it's a good idea. That's why mm-hmm. so many people are trying to do it.
Right, and kudos to Apple's and Facebook who are taking the lead and saying, you know, we need to do this. And hopefully that $20,000 they're offering would allow a couple to do IVF and do embryo development.
Now,
as well.
Men don't have to do this.
No.
For freezing sperm.
No, that's because guess what?
Sounds ignorant, but I don't know.
You know what? We have all the eggs we have in our life, yeah. And our guys
make
a new mix of
so
sperm every 72 days. That's why Michael Douglas can get Catherine Zeta pregnant. Hello. But they're constantly making sperm. Now, granted, over in their late 40s, early 50s, you start to see more genetic birth defects and things because their sperm's starting to get older and there's something called DNA damage that's associated. But no, they don't have to do that.
Okay. So when you freeze them, so when you do it at 28, it's best to do it younger or it doesn't matter? You say our eggs are as old as they're going to be.
The ASRM, which is our American Society of Reproductive Medicine, advises that the younger you do it, the better. When you're over 35, fertility starts to go down anyway. And once they're over 35, women need to be aware that just based on their age, they have an inherent fertility problem. And the recommendation is to do it under age 38. If you're over 40, you need to realize that 90% of the embryos you're going to make are genetically abnormal because of the quality of the egg.
Okay.
So that's something to be aware of.
Now, explain the link between obesity and fertility and egg health.
Well, what's interesting is that what research is starting to find and why we are all over patients in working on their weight and getting onto low-carb diets and trying to be healthier is that it seems like insulin and higher sugar environments and higher weight moms transmit what we call metabolic problems to their offspring. It seems that the increase in weight seems to change the mitochondria or the energy production of the eggs, and therefore the eggs don't develop as well. There's a higher risk of what we call aneuploidy, which is abnormal chromosomes there. And when you have that situation happen, that causes less pregnancy rates, higher miscarriage rates, and that's why women who are overweight sometimes have a harder time getting pregnant. But the other interesting thing is that they're finding that women who are overweight may bring that genetic predisposition or that metabolic alteration into their offspring.
Yes.
They did a study with mice, and they found that this was a study, I think, done in the University of Adelaide, and they talked about there were big differences in the eggs of obese mice compared to those with lean mice, especially the mitochondria. They were damaged, dysfunctional. There were fewer of them. And so this might be bringing a propensity for obesity to their children genetically, even at the stage of embryo development. So another food for thought in maybe addressing the issue of why there's so many generations that are having problems with weight loss. This could be part of it.
Okay. Well, you're listening to Today's Woman Radio Show with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. I'm Dana Clark. Show is sponsored by the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. Check them out at MIFertility.com. To learn more, call 248-864-5900. Up next, we'll speak with a military mom. We'll be right back on WJR. Welcome back to Today's Woman Radio Show with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. I'm your co-host, Dana Clark. Tonight, we're saluting those who serve to defend our country in honor of National Military Appreciation Month. Our guest is Lucy, a military mom. Visit MIFertility.com to learn more about our sponsor, Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. And as we know, we just celebrated Memorial Day last Monday. But let's just give you a little bit of details about National Military Appreciation Month. It started about 16 years ago, back in 1999, by the U.S. Senate designating May as National Military Appreciation Month with the support and sponsor of Senator John McCain from Arizona and Representative Duncan Hunter of California, along with over 50 veteran service organizations. This important legislation states to our service members that they protect, set aside the entire month to honor and remember and appreciate their patriotism and dedication from their families. So we are so happy to welcome Lucy to the show. Hi, Lucy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Did you have a great Memorial weekend?
Yes.
Awesome. Now, your child is in the military, and thank you for being on the show to answer what it's like to have someone you love so much serving our country. And I have to say, God bless all who are taking the time and sacrificing to serve our country, to allow us our freedom. And that goes to you, Lucy. God bless you and the families who love your child and are nervous and scared about them being where they are, but have the courage and know that it's important to them. So what is it like having a child in the military?
Well, actually, at first, it takes some getting used to, because you realize quickly that while they're your child, the U.S. government now owns them for their however long their contract is. And that's a little strange. You're going to get used to, because you can't just pick up the phone and contact them, call them, text them. It just isn't that simple anymore.
So it's pretty regimented. How often is your child allowed to contact you?
Mm-hmm. Well, that depends. If he's in the country, it's pretty much like any job that anybody would have, you know, whatever schedule allows. But it's when they're overseas that really changes dramatically, or if they're in some kind of a training situation where they're incommunicado. So it just depends. But you just know that you really no longer have that ability to just reach out and touch them whenever you want to.
Wow.
How can we best support military families? Because I imagine it must be very stressful just on a daily basis of you wondering about your child or family member.
I would say that it really depends on where they are. You know, if they're in the States, like I said earlier, it's typically like a job, whatever it is that they're doing. But when they are overseas, that's, I find, when they need the most support. I guess early on people would say, oh, just let us know if there's anything we can do. And there really wasn't anything we could think of until I would say our son's first deployment. You know, we have such a big family and a lot of friends that, you know, he was getting a lot of boxes, I mean, of goodies from home and whatnot. And, I mean, 10 in a day, it wasn't uncommon for him to get. So
that's
at one time he called us, and he said, you know, this is great, and I'm opening up my boxes to everybody, but, you know, there's a lot of guys here that they're not getting anything.
Yeah.
And so what can you do, Mom? Can you, you know, put the word out? And so I did. And I'm telling you, the support and the just the love that we got, people were backing up pickup trucks of stuff for us to ship to them, and it was amazing. And that was the way that we could support them over there. Because really, what else can you do?
So the take-home message is that if you have a family member overseas, that maybe that family, your son or daughter, could share the buddies that are not getting the packages, and then family members and friends could send to them as well. What motivated your child to enlist in the military?
Well, the humorous side of me says, God only knows he wasn't even allowed to play with guns when he was little. But the other side of us, my husband and I, we look back at it and we think, you know, really? When he was little, we used to call him the Sarge. He was pretty much a straight shooter. Everything was black or white. There wasn't a lot of gray for him. And he was a black belt when he was 16. And he was a very loyal, good person. But in all honesty, we did everything we could to keep him from enlisting. He wanted to do it right out of high school, and through much coercion and bribery and arm twisting, we convinced him that going to college first was the best thing to do. Mm-hmm. Well, he enlisted anyway after he went in after his junior year of college. And so for us, it was, we switched our mindset from convincing otherwise to full support. Mm-hmm. So,
how is he doing? Because it must be stressful, you know, on them too, people who enlist in the military.
Well, he loves his job, although he has since had a training injury, so he will actually be out of service at the end of the year. But he's doing well. I would say, you know, that some of the changes we've seen, one is that, you know, the military successfully did what we could not do, was to get him to clean his room. But, I would say, you know, he does not suffer fools or laziness anymore, which I think you know, in some ways that can be difficult, but on the other hand, it can be a great asset going through life as well.
And what advice would you give to other parents? And again, what changes have you noticed in him? What advice would you give to parents of a child in the military?
The advice I would give to parents, and these would be parents that don't have military backgrounds, because mm-hmm. We weren't a big military family. So for us, I went into complete panic mode. I would say do not panic. Mm-hmm. You know, they are more likely to get hurt or killed on I-75 mm-hmm. than they are doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And it's such an important job, and they do learn so much. They gain the skills that they gain and the growth that happens. It really is worth it. And if he heard me saying this, he would be laughing at me.
Well, you know, one of the things that you said really strikes to my heart, because, you know, I too have, and Dana, we all have mm-hmm. children, is I think a very honest thing that you said that is not at all unpatriotic. It is a parent's love, mm-hmm. is worrying about them enlisting and having that sense of parental protection to say, no, I don't want you to go and serve the country. It doesn't mean you don't love America. It doesn't mean that you don't love our country. It is the fear of the mm-hmm. unknown when they're away. And I think that's such an honest feeling, and I commend you for saying it, because I think most people and most parents have that feeling. And then you have to transition to, like you said, the child or the young adult who has this passion in their heart to serve for our freedom. And then you have to say, you know what, I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to trust that the government's going to do the best they can to protect you, and while you're protecting our country. So I think that is awesome. How does this affected you and your family on a day-to-day basis, and what would you like listeners to know about the situation that's happening there?
Well, let's see. How has it affected us? I would say, first and foremost, we have a whole new appreciation for military personnel and their families. Just unbelievable difference in that. And the other is, I guess personally, is that I can't even listen to the national anthem without getting mm-hmm. tears in my eyes anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we learned that we did not know we were always under the impression that when somebody's in the military, and I don't know why we felt this way, but that they're given everything, that they're mm-hmm. everything's paid for, and that kind of explains the lower wages and whatnot. When what we really found out was that once they're out of basic training, they pay for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Their food, I mean, they take a monthly stipend out for food, his uniform he wears, he pays for the medals that he's required to have when he has earned them. He is required to pay for them. He has them paid to put on his dress uniform. There's a lot of expenses incurred that I think most people don't even realize.
Wow.
Well, thank you so much for your service. We appreciate you taking time to give us some insight, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon in the future, Lucy.
Well, thank you very much.
Great talking to you, and God bless America, and God bless your child who is so amazingly serving our country.
And also the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health, you have a military discount, right?
Yes, we do. For anyone who has been in the military or a veteran of the military, we do offer a 20% discount for our IVF services in honor of their patriotism to us.
Okay, we'll be right back with A Day in the Life Of on Today's Woman on WJR.
God bless.
Welcome back to Today's Woman Radio Show with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. I'm Dana Clark. It's time for A Day in the Life, and we're going to take a moment to talk about summer vacation. Summer is coming up. We're so excited that it's finally getting a winding down for the school year, and also some awesome things that are coming up in the city in June. But first, you went to an exciting event that you want to tell us about.
Yes, and I'm very, very excited to share that last Friday, Friday, we went to the first inaugural celebration of MakeYourDate.org. Now, this is a opportunity, and it's free for women in Detroit who are pregnant to get to make their due dates, ergo the MakeYourDate.org. And this was started with Wayne State University, and Dr. Sonia Hassan, a young lady I'm proud to say I was part of her training, is the founder of this organization. And the idea behind this is led because the national preterm labor and delivery rate in the country is 11%, but in Detroit, it's 18%. And guess what? That 18% is the same as in underdeveloped countries. So Detroit needs this opportunity to reach out to educate and provide resources for the so many pregnant women in the Detroit area to make their due date, to avoid the complications of preterm labor and delivery. So it's really cool that we're proud. This all started at Wayne State. And what the MakeYourDate.org is about is Wayne State, together with the DMC, did research on a certain type of progesterone that you can take in pregnancy, which will relax the uterus and cervix and allow the pregnancy to continue.
Okay.
And Dr. Hassan has gone all over the world to educate OBGYNs in this treatment opportunity, and its breakthrough that is, it has significantly improved the preterm labor and delivery rate in the world. And this is with the mayor's support and several community hospitals that are all on board. This is a really great opportunity for the women of Detroit to get healthy babies.
Okay, so give us the website one more time.
It's called MakeYourDate.org. So if you want information, go to that website, MakeYourDate.org, and the resources will be available to you.
Go ahead and check that out. So, you know, summer is finally upon us. Yay. kids are getting out of school. And, you know, we have a few things that you could do this summer, especially coming up in June. You could make it a Detroit staycation if you don't have plans to go out of town. So a couple of things that are coming up are the Slow Roll Grand Prix Martius that's happening this weekend. And speaking of the Grand Prix, the Detroit Grand Prix is going to take place May 30th to June 1st, and just a host of other things that are happening throughout the city.
Motor City Pride is happening the weekend of June 7th and 8th. Also, Cruise on Gratiot is June 14th.
And so, don't forget about River Days. That's really cool. Right there on the river, they have music, they have rides, food. My favorite thing. If you say food, then you have a chance of me getting there. And so that's June 20th through the 22nd. So, you know, if you don't have any plans to go out of town, you can stay here in Detroit. We have so many wonderful things happening, and the city is really, you know, coming back to life.
I'm so excited to see that, Dana. I can tell you, my husband and I went to the Detroit Opera, and I like opera. My husband sleeps through opera, so the poor person behind us sees the head go down and me hitting his shoulder, and so the poor person behind me is a little maybe distracted. But I got to tell you, this past Saturday, I was seeing the opera, and my cousin, who is from Michigan, was entertaining my other cousin from Connecticut. His wife got him Michigan for his birthday, and Tommy just took them downtown and hit all the bars, you know, the Punch Bowl, the Well,
places, yeah.
Union Street. And it is so exciting to see so many people walking around, pictures being taken. We met them. They went to see Seinfeld, and we went and met them at the Wells. It was packed. People were all on Broadway, up and down the streets. The construction going on, a little crazy, but you're seeing new restaurants, new stores, new bars. And, you know, we were walking to our car, and there was a bride and groom who, they might have had their reception, I don't know, it was near the Gem or the DAC or whatever. And they're walking in their wedding gown, and he and his tux, and they were getting cheers from both sides of the street and honking horns. And I just sat there and thought, oh my God, this is what we've been waiting for. So you're right. It might be a great idea to spend some of your summer supporting and enjoying our city, because I was so excited to see how much is being accomplished. Very proud of it. And my cousin from Connecticut, he's going back home to say, you know, Detroit,
hello.
Oh my God, I had a great time.
Party in the D.
Exactly.
So do you have plans to go anywhere out of town?
You know what? We are going to do a lot of things locally that we're very excited about. One of the things that's a big event in this year for us is in the summer, my father-in-law turns 80.
Oh, awesome.
So we are taking a big family road trip in the summer to Maine. So, and my California brother and sister-in-law, who have never been on the East Coast, are going to get their first taste of East Coast living. Mm-hmm. Compare it to West Coast.
That should be exciting.
Yeah, there's going to be, what, 17, 20 of us all together.
Oh, that's going to be crazy. You need to record that.
Yeah. And bring a lot of margaritas.
So we can get some popcorn and just
exactly.
Let it be a new
How
reality
about you?
Show. I am planning on going to a wedding in Mexico, in Riviera Maya, at the end of June. So I've never been to a destination wedding.
Oh, how fun.
So I'm looking forward to that. So I'm looking forward to some sand and some, as you mentioned, some, you know, adult beverages and just, you know, some time just to chill out. And I can't believe it's already June.
Oh, I know.
Like we wait for it to get warm and then it's here.
Yeah.
And then the kids are getting out of school. So, you know, my son probably has a couple more weeks to go before school is out. What do you keep a strict schedule or do you try to just let it go? I just let it go.
Yeah, you know what? And it's so funny. I have teachers as patients. I'm like, who's more excited?
Mm-hmm.
The students or the teachers? Mm-hmm. And the teachers are all like, we are. So, yeah. I mean, I was talking to a teacher yesterday. My little ones go to a St. Paul and I was with one of the teachers and I said, how is it? She goes, you know what? The eighth graders, they're done.
Mm-hmm.
They are mentally
checked out.
They're checked out, and I cannot do anything with them. And so we try to keep a little structure, but you know what? There's structure all through the year.
Mm-hmm.
I let them kind of hang a little free, too.
Yeah, that's what I do. And also, Father's Day is coming up. I need some tips because I never can think of a good Father's Day gift because they never want anything. So
you know,
what are you going to do?
You know, a couple things. The guys like, I don't know. I think that they like events and things. My dad always likes the cigar and the bourbon.
Okay.
So he'll, hope you're not listening, Dad, but we'll probably get him some of that. And, you know, one of the cool things that I got my dad last year that we haven't benefited from was the Ernie Harwell play in July.
That's back. Yes.
And that is back. And so we promised him tickets. We didn't have a chance to go. So that's going to be part of it. But a lot of times I think the dads like activities, you know, things to do. So maybe a tiger game or maybe to go someplace, go fishing, you know, get a fishing license or, you know, go on a picnic with the kids and the grandkids.
Because they don't really like gifts, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
They'd rather do stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe they golf. You could get them a golf certificate to hit balls or something like that. Or just maybe some one-on-one time with you and your dad would be awesome because life is so busy and, you know, it's hard to fit everything in. So, well, this has been a great show, and we want to thank Lucy once again, our military mom. We want to thank all of our service members in the military, you know, for their service. And if you need more information, we do have a couple of support groups that people might want to check out for the military. One is the MichiganMilitaryMoms.org, or you can check out MilitarySpousesOfMI.org, as well as MilitaryMomsUnited.org. So, it's been another awesome show.
I love working with you, Dana.
So, and with that,
you go, girl. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.